Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
College football rolls on. The rankings continue to roll on. They mean everything and nothing at the same time. Oh, and Ohio State rolls along with Northwestern this weekend. Going to be a tough one. Buckeyes only favored by 28.5 points. Talking about this game, the Buckeyes, the playoffs, and all of it. Welcome on Pete Vutek, College Football News. He joins us every single Thursday at 4 p.m. on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pete, welcome to the show.
So when the Cavs finally lose, is that Ryan Day's fault?
Yeah.
That's how it works around here.
We've kind of set up that play, and if it's not his fault, it's Kevin Stefanski's fault.
Oh, there you go. That's fine. You know, or, you know, Deshaun Watson trade, all that. But no, everything's rolling right along. You put it correctly. The CFP rankings mean everything and nothing. I don't know why ESPN, and they're smart, they're good at this, but I don't know why they're playing it this way, where they put out the bracket that you can't have. You cannot physically have a number 2 Ohio State and number 5 Indiana in a bracket like they, and they kind of analyze it like, oh, this is what the matchups would be. Well, no, you can't have that because one of the two is going to lose next week, and it's going to like completely skew it all up. So these rankings, again, it's the same thing like it was before, and then when it was a 4-team, same thing now. Win your Power 4 conference, or get to 11 wins, and you're going to be just fine.
Pete, I know you're in Chicago. Do you like that they play it at Wrigley Field, or is it still – have they figured out the end zone situation yet?
Stupid. It's the dumbest thing ever. It was cute once. There's no point to it. And I lived right next to it for like 10 years. I love the area. I love everything about it. And I get it, but you have the most gorgeous setting in all of sports maybe right now with this little, you know, bandbox of a thing that they've put together right on the lake, which is usually all opposing fans. I get it. You need a bigger stadium because it's all Ohio State fans because it's like 12 Northwestern fans here. But it's like, really, like, who cares? The kitsch of it goes away fast because Wrigley Field's a pain in the butt. It's hard to get to. There's no parking. The amenities are fine. They're not great. And after about 30 seconds, you're like, this sucks. You know, why am I sitting in this place when there's a perfectly good football stadium? It's still down the road, but there's all over the place here. I don't think it's all that cool, but I realize I'm in the minority on this one.
They should play in Guaranteed Rate Field, which in no way is a big toilet.
Actually, that's actually somewhat easier. There is parking. It is easy access. It's on the other side of the town, which is, you know, a little bit of a pain to get to some point. But actually, I say this, and there is no more difficult major sports venue in the entire planet to get to than Soldier Field. Unless you live in the city, that is the most obnoxiously hard place to try to get to in under an hour and a half for any sort of sporting event. So there's no real easy answer to this, but fine, get it in Wrigley Field. It'll be cute for a little bit, and then the kitsch will wear off.
Let me ask you about the game of the week, in my opinion, and that's Georgia-Tennessee. Is Carson Beck just no longer good at football?
I think you know what? It's funny because I've gone on other Georgia shows with stuff, and it's the exact same thing as Ohio State, where Georgia and Ohio State are the two best teams in college football. Georgia's just not playing like it. They're both teams. Again, you can see it on every play with Ohio State, like, they're so tight. It's like, oh, my gosh, they just got a third down. Ah! You know, everyone's just so wired right now because the pressure is so immense. And we forget, you know, yeah, these guys are making millions of NIL dollars and they're, you know, kind of professionals at this point. They're still college kids. And Carson Beck is playing like he has the weight of the entire world on his shoulders. Or he's good. He's going to be an NFL starting quarterback. But every throw is being marked. He's like, seems like he's just trying to do everything at once. And at the same time, that offensive line is just too hit or miss. They're just not playing like it. But the Georgia defense is still good. And we can see once in a while, it's almost like when they're able to exhale, you're like, okay, that's Georgia. That's what we're used to. It was late against Florida, second half against Alabama, certainly against Clemson to start the season. You can just kind of see when they just play and just stop and get out of their heads, they're dangerous. That is going to be a fun team, because what's happening with these, go back to the college football playoff rankings, is you're going to have all these Big Ten teams up top. And hey, nice Indiana, congratulations, you get a home playoff game and you get Georgia. You know, there's going to be a bunch of stuff that happens, but Georgia's got to win. You can't lose to this Tennessee team who's, you know, they got one nice win there, but they're flawed. The offense isn't working all that great, but their defense is really strong. So long-winded way of saying it's going to be a really, really, really close, low-scoring game, but I do like Georgia to pull this off at home.
Pete, Ohio State fans incensed, fuming, livid with Fox because we got another.
Is there another kind? Is it another day? Yeah,
but basically, it all boils down to another big noon kickoff game for Ohio State. There is I think it's six straight games to finish out the season that are going to be noon kickoffs. I believe that maybe, if I'm right on this, two night games, and I think one of them was on the road. So I'm just curious where you stand on this incense. I mean, Ryan Day is waiting on it. Where do you stand on Ohio State Fury?
You have to remember, I'm so removed from all this, because in my world, it's a game in the middle in the day. Okay, you're gonna play at some point. I don't care, but I get it if you're a fan where you have to get up and get going fast, and it kind of like throws off the rhythm. It's a little more fun to, you know, hit the bars first or tailgate for a while and then go to the night game. It becomes an entire day event and all that sort of thing. And the primetime games have been a tad lacking, but man, everyone complains and whines about the big noon kickoff. By the way, I'm going to ruin this for you. And I joke, I do Fox shows and I've ruined it for them too. Try to hear their promos without hearing big nude kickoff. It doesn't work. There's something to it, because sometimes it's hard to get up and going. Everyone also forgets that, you know, for years, Michigan-Ohio State was always that first game of the day, and that didn't seem to lose any steam. But I get it to a certain extent, but just go out there, win the game, and relax the rest of the day. And actually, and to a certain extent, in a weird way where there's every single week during a football season, every extra hour you get to do anything, whether it's ice it, take a nap, you know, relax, a little more film study. You get that game over, you know, by middle of the day, afternoon, you know, it is on to the next one. And it's actually not the worst thing. Well, I know it's microanalyzing, you know, 3 hours. But, every second matters during the football season, these coaches. And so playing early, I get it a little bit. But that also gives you an extra half a day to kind of prepare and get ready for the next week.
I think you clearly don't know me if you think you ruined it by saying all I'm going to hear is big new kickoff.
It's obnoxious at this point. I cannot unhear it. Every single promo that comes across every single time. That actually, my beef of all this is all the promos for their college basketball games, and they still use Round Ball Rock, which should only be used for NBA games in the 90s when Jordan and Bulls are playing Barkley and the Suns or something like that. But I digress.
Hey, Pete, I want to ask you about Dan Lanning, because everyone is now making the big idea that he's going to be a hot NFL candidate. Do you feel like that would be because of where the NIL and everything is going in the league, and how all these different coaches want to jump and kind of get away from the NFL, or excuse me, away from the college game? Or do you feel like there is something special with Dan Lanning?
It's so weird now, because you know, you think about it, you used to go to the NFL to get paid. Now, if you want to get paid, be a college coach. Because if there's no security in the NFL, if you're a decent college coach, you've got wealth for generations, because you win a big game, all of a sudden you get a contract extension that's going to lock you in for another 10 years. You know, look at the Jimbo Fishers of the world. You know, look at these guys who, you know, every time it's the biggest sucker bet in all of sports is whenever there's a big game, agent's going to get on the phone with the athletic director and say, hey, lock my guy up. and they just throw another year out of the contract of bad paper. So I get if you want to be in the league, you want to be in the league. I mean, the NFL, we all love college football. It's not the NFL. The NFL is the big time. That's the show. That's everything. But few guys could do it. That's why I know I've always kind of been the apologist in this way. You can make a case that in terms of being an all-around coach, who's better than Harbaugh? I mean, Saban failed in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, Carroll's been good at the NFL, but Harbaugh seems to he turned that Charger thing around fast. That defense is great. The offense is doing all right. I mean, he's just a good coach, but that's rare. It's so hard to do because you can't go out there and get your and recruit the players you want. You don't have full and total authoritarian control over your world like you do in college. So it takes the right type of person to do that. I don't know why. With that said, like all these people who keep complaining in USC, for example, and saying, well, Lincoln Riley's out of here. Well, Lincoln Riley might be the new Dallas Cowboys head coach if it's not Dan Lanning or something like that. So it is a fun thing to say, but if you can handle the NIL world, then college is just kind of the better deal if you're a coach who just likes to be in charge of everything.
Pete, are you buying a 3-loss SEC champion being the Power 5 conference team that gets locked out of the top 5 and then gets kicked down later?
All right, but a bunch of parts to that. So if they're the Power 4 conference champ, they're automatically in. So, like, where this gets quirky is, so if okay, so you're saying, like, Alabama loses. So it's actually the Power 4 conference loser that gets the rawest of the deal. Because the sweet cake deal is Penn State, Indiana, and maybe Notre Dame, where they're going to go, all three of them should go 11-1. None of them have to play that 13th game for a conference championship, which means if you're a conference championship loser and you make the playoff, you get a 14th game. It's an extra game. You don't get the time off, and you probably don't get a home game in the first round of the CFP. Whereas, again, Penn State, Indiana, Notre Dame, if at 11-1, they get pretty much 3 weeks to a month off to rest. Hmm. And then they get, instead of their 13th game being a neutral site conference champion, they get a home game in the college football playoff. So kind of a sweet deal for those teams. With that said, as long as Ohio State and Oregon, as long as Ohio State doesn't lose the next couple weeks, even if it loses to Oregon in the Big Ten championship, which I don't think it will, I think the 5 seed is going to be the Big Ten championship loser. So I'm kind of buying into the idea that the top 4 is going to be the top 4. My big thing is I think Boise State's going to be one of those top 4 seeds. They're probably going to be ranked 10th, but I think you're going to get an ACC champion that's going to be ranked like 15th or 16th that gets the 12th seed. You're probably only going to get one bid from the Big 12. So you're going to have all those 11-1 teams, like I said, up top, the Big 10 championship loser probably up top, and good luck trying to figure out which SEC teams. Because look at Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, LSU, Texas A&M. Three of those teams aren't going to be around. So you're going to have just a bunch of killer 9, 10, and 11 seeds there going on the road for the first round of the playoff.
Pete, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate you.
There you go.
Pete Fuchs at College Football News on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
It was Pete Tucker there at the end. Ross Tucker. Waiter, guys. Later,
oh, yeah.
Dudes.
No. It's totally different. Later, guys, and later, dudes are two very different things. We'll get back to some college football later in the show, but Peterlin's getting ready to handle out a bit of kudos for the Cavaliers. Just not where I think anyone see it coming. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. I think Hunter versus Hunted is how people view you big picture. Meaning when you're not 13-0, they just, okay, this is one of the teams we have to beat to prove that we're the best or that we're in their league. I don't think that's where we are with this Cavs team yet, even though they've had a lot of success the last 2.5 years. This is something immediately like, yeah, I would imagine the more winning streak you accrue, the more teams are going to get amped up to play you, even the crappy teams, because they'd like to have that little, feather in their cap of, hey, we might suck, but at least we went ahead and ended that streak.
Oh, I don't know that I don't know that other teams are approaching it that way. I don't know. You think they're approaching it? I'm genuinely asking. Do you think like the Pistons, for instance, are like, hey, this is how we show the NBA?
I mean, I think the farther you get into this, yes. Like, I think
you can be the one that snaps the 20 game win streak.
I think it's like an incremental build. I think the one team that I'm fairly confident won't is the Celtics, because I don't think they care. Like, I think the Celtics are still coasting on that whole title thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't think they
good thing to coast off of.
Even if the Cavs have like a 4 or 5 game lead off them by the time they meet up, what is that, 3 games from now? I don't think the Celtics are going to care. I think they just are going to, oh, it's Cleveland. Oh, they're how many games?
This is why you chose the Hornets as a potential spoiler team the other day, right?
The look ahead. Who cares about this Hornets team? We got to play the Celtics coming up. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a kind of way, like, if this ends within the next week, that's how it ends.
Okay.
I guess you could say it ends with Boston, because Boston has every right to beat you. They're a really good team. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out what bad teams get up for and get excited for. You know, like if you're on a bad team, you get excited to play LeBron. You probably get excited to play whoever the NBA title winner is of that year. Like, you probably get excited. Like, there's a few teams that you're guaranteed to get pumped up for. If I'm a Hornets fan, am I tuning in like, we got a chance to play spoiler to the Cavs in a 20-game win streak?
Maybe it's because I know Hornets fans 100%.
100%, okay.
Yeah, 100%. All right.
Hey, you lived in the bottom of the basement way more recently than we have with the Cavs here, with the Hornets stuff.
So
actually, that might have been the same timeline, if we're being honest.
So we played the Shaq thing at the start of the show, where on last night's broadcast, Shaq was like, I give them no credit. Sorry, it was 2 nights ago, right? It was last night. Good Lord. I don't know why I said 2 days ago. I was thinking TNT on Tuesdays. But Shaq basically was like, I give Kenny Atkinson no credit. It's Donovan Mitchell, which actually is the dumbest year to have that conversation, because Donovan's scoring is 23 points per game, which is like 5 points per game off what he's doing the other 2 years he's been here. So if you wanted to say, I give it to Donovan and Darius and Evan and Jarrett, maybe you'd talk more, but just the idea of Kenny Atkinson deserves no credit and Donovan deserves all the credit feels like maybe Shaq hasn't actually watched Cavs basketball this year.
I think that's not like the base of their show, right? Yeah. Is that like they watch basketball, what's in front of them, but they're not really watching much else outside of that, and the Cavs have not been in front of them.
So you're ready, though, to give out at least a kudo, if not all the kudos, to somebody else.
Dump my whole credit bucket on someone's front lawn here, okay? You ready?
It's like Rip Tyler when he would just throw the
sparkles on
people.
Just going to throw it on the lawn, and then, yeah. Yes.
Is it like a glitter bomb?
You know I'm a fan of the glitter bombs.
A kudo bomb?
It's a kudo bomb. Kudo glitter bomb. And I don't know, I just... Why aren't we talking about Kobe Altman in this at all? Like, Kobe Altman had stones when everyone was telling him, break up the guards in the back, break up the two big men. Two big men and two undersized guards is never going to work. We had guys we liked. People were like, oh, Brandon Ingram, bring him here. Mikal Bridges. We got an actual arguments over which wing was going to end up coming here. And Kobe Altman was like, no. We all need to stay pat. We all need to just calm down. I'm not trading anybody. And yeah, the value on Darius was just an absolute toilet. So maybe he was forced to do this this way. But I think at some point we got to acknowledge, like, Kobe Altman didn't budge. When the whole world was telling him to budge, he didn't budge. That's worth something.
So you get credit for not selling low on players?
You get credit for this. Yes, you do. You get
but like
credit
how
for...
much credit? Because you just said kudo bomb, and I don't think this is a kudo bomb situation.
Did we go too hard with the glitter bomb? I don't know that we can do it this quick is the only worry I would have here, because I don't know that he's been proven right that the two guard and two big setup is exactly what any team needs. But look at the way that Atkinson has been doing this. He's been comboing them up in such an interesting way. It's Mobley and Mitchell, and then it's Allen and it's Garland. And like within the staggering of the minutes, they've been able to make it work.
All right, so this is dependent on one of two things. Do you think JB was fired by Kobe, or do you think Kobe was forced to fire JB? So that's a one part.
I think Kobe was still forced to fire JB. I think we started getting back into the health of the top brass over there, the people that actually make the decisions, and I think that's how that went down.
You're talking Dan Gilbert.
Of course.
So that's 25%.
I don't know why I just didn't want to say his name, but I didn't want to say his
He's
name.
He's not Voldemort.
I know. I was like, I'm just not going to refuse to say his name right now.
He's done a lot of nice things in this town. So that's 25% kudo removed from Kobe Altman. Do you think... That
we're removing kudo. We're taking it off like it's a pie chart.
Yeah, because
no credit at all.
Because he should have fired JB a year earlier. Which I should. You know what? I'm removing another 25% kudo for that.
Being late to the party to fire him.
No. He was a year late to the party, we probably sacrificed a playoff series.
Hold on, but the whole Kudo chart isn't built on J.B. Bickerstaff. It's built on this last offseason.
It's all ties together.
Built off of this last season. No, this is where he gets the credit. Yeah, when everyone told him to basically abandon ship, he said, no chance, not today. I'm going to stay firm with what I believe is right.
Half of the NBA did that. It was the worst player movement offseason that I can remember.
The Knicks moved two guys out of their starting five.
But
all sorts of people moved. Paul George, not a 76er.
Compare it to what it was supposed to be. We had heard historic movement.
All sorts of players left.
The Pelicans didn't make a move, right? Brandon Ingram.
They made a move.
There were plenty of... What was the move? For Dejounte Murray, right?
That's a big move.
Yeah, okay. But it's not trading Zion, not trading Brandon Ingram. Like, we didn't have the kind of superstar movement we're used to.
We had movement.
Some movement. It's not the kind of movement that you expect. Most of the NBA stood pat on big moves. Clearly, Milwaukee stood pat. That's tough to say. The Dodgers, the Lakers stood pat. This would be so much better if I could get the name right. The Lakers stood pat. There were plenty of teams that stood pat. So, yeah, like there was a long
he had choices.
But here's the thing. I'm not going to give into this because the point is he didn't fire JB a year ago. Then he was forced to fire JB this year.
That's not what I'm basing this off of.
But no, we're talking totality. You don't just base somebody's job off one thing.
This is a pretty big thing. The offseason was a pretty big thing.
Of doing nothing?
Yes. That was a decision.
So
was a massive decision.
So the only thing that they did.
People talked about, you have to break up these two guards. You have to break up the big men. You have to change everything. So many people, caller after caller, I can't stand to watch Garland and Mitchell together. It makes my eyes bleed.
Yeah.
He could have done something. He could have changed it up. He decided not
to. Like, going to fire the head coach.
He decided done that. That was the only thing he did.
No, he didn't do it.
I don't think he did it. I think
Dan
somebody
Gilbert
else above
did
him did it.
Okay, but, now play this out with me. Did he hire Kenny Atkinson?
Nah, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. I think that was Gilbert.
The only consequential moves were firing JB.
You get credit for doing nothing in this instance.
No, you don't.
Yes, you
do. Your job is to do something.
Doing nothing and running
owner,
it back was massive.
The owner had to come off the IR and be like, JB, hit the bricks. Kenny Atkinson, you're that
It would have been very easy to say, Garland, you're out. Ingram, you're in. Let's see what we can do now with the new head coach. He didn't do that. Garland, he trusted the idea that I, as recently as for the previous, I guess, 3 weeks, don't believe is true, that Garland was just a season from hell last year, and that's all last season was, and he's going to have it turned around and everything will look different.
You
he trusted
get
that.
Credit
he
for gets sleeping on
for that.
The job.
He gets rewarded
that's
for
not
that.
How this
it's
goes.
Not sleeping on the job. Yeah. Inaction sometimes is action,
no, okay.
And that's what happened here.
All right. No, it's
inaction
not.
Inaction sometimes is action, and that's exactly
Listen,
what happened.
I'm all here for, you didn't trade Darius on the low load. That's good. But also, when the number one most consequential thing that happened.
How is it that's good and you would just sweep that under the rug as if that's not something massive?
Because it's not as important
as... How much did the NBA gave up on Darius?
The thing that happened was all owner-driven. Like, that's where we are.
I should add, the other thing he did this offseason was extend Donovan Mitchell, the guy that he had the stones to trade for, and alter the shape of the franchise.
Is that so
that's
you're going to get
a massive, big balls move, Nick. Yeah.
Extending Donovan?
No. Trading for Donovan and getting that set up and done.
Yeah, he's already been given
massive.
His kudos for that.
And then he got the extension on top of it. Like, that's,
I think you're trying to shoehorn credit for the guy that deserves the least amount of credit for this Cavs team.
Pretty big offseason. Pretty big offseason right there.
That the moves that you actually made. You know what? Jalen Tyson. Great move. No idea if the kid can play, but you took somebody with the 20th pick. You drafted
somebody.
Why are you
ignoring the obvious here?
Why are you ignoring the fact that he neither hired or fired the coach?
Because it wasn't the biggest move that happened this offseason. The biggest move is keeping the core four together.
I would say
not
the biggest move.
Up. As of right now, the biggest move, ask Chuck. Chuck will attest to it, right, Chuck? It's not. I'm talking to Charles Barkley through audio from last night, by the way, in case you weren't aware. The core four is the reason why this team is 13-0. Atkinson's a part of it, for sure. But, like, that decision was massive. And Kobe Altman deserves some credit.
Congrats on letting Dan Gilbert do your dirty work. 216-474-0092. Listen, I will say, I think that the Darius bouncing back, I do think not making a move, I think it has aged well through 13 games. But Kobe, listen, Kenny Atkinson, because I don't have a frame of reference for Kenny as a head coach because he's the new piece here, I get to grade as we go. The core four in a new context, I get to grade as you go. I do, but I'm not going to reach back 2 years ago and be like, hey, Hey, remember you did that Donovan thing?
You tried reaching back a year ago and saying he didn't fire J.B. Bickerstaff, so yeah, what's the difference?
Well, because
you said totality. Now you're not giving me totality.
Well, because it's me. But I do think... the point is, you slept on the job 2 years ago when you didn't make a move. You slept on the job this year when the owner made the move for you. Like, by the way, why is the owner more involved? Because this thing didn't go the way you wanted it.
No, we got healthy.
Yeah, I was going to go ahead and say that this thing didn't go the way they wanted it to last year.
No, I think that was a health. It was health, and now he's healthy, and now he's more,
well,
he's more involved.
I think that's a very convenient out for Kobe Altman.
I'm not.
Because he's the fall guy if this doesn't work out this year, by the way.
I'll tell you this. I think 3 years ago, if he'd been healthy, I don't know that Kobe Altman would have made it through 3 years ago.
Are you talking about the play-in season?
Yeah. I went back just earlier today. I was looking back at all the think pieces being like, Kobe Altman deserves to be fired. Kobe Altman deserves to lose his job. Like, that's where we were. He's gotten this turned around very, very quickly.
I just think...
And in a very impressive
Kobe
way.
Kobe Altman should be judged based off this team sticking together by what happens in the playoffs. So, no kudo for me right now.
And that might be the end result. It might be what happens in the playoffs, the way a lot of these conversations tend to go. But through 13 games, his inaction, being the action, seemed like a pretty big one.
Yeah, except Dan Gilbert is the guy that hired Kenny Atkinson, and I think Kenny Atkinson's the reason you're 13-0.
So many people were saying, you have to break this up. You can't do this core four. We can't watch Darius and Donovan play together. It doesn't work, and he ignored them all. And right now, through 13 games, seems like he was the right guy.
Did he not have a hand to play? Like, you're acting like an action was a choice. It might have been the choice.
You could break it up if you wanted to. You would have got pennies on the dollar, but you could break it up if you wanted to.
For what? For whom?
It would have been change to make change.
Where was the Darius trade? Because was it to San Antonio for filler?
I mean, how many Brandon Ingram conversations did we have? We talked about Ingram.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For 3 weeks straight.
They also didn't trade him to somewhere else.
No, we talked about so many different pieces. Mikal Bridges got brought up for a million different reasons.
216-474-0092. Robert and Dietrich, you guys stay there. Should we be giving Kobe Altman more credit for sleeping on the job? More on that next on 92.3 The Fan. We got the 5 of 5 coming up in 15 minutes. At some point in the show, we might play the funniest thing that Mike Tyson has ever done or said in the lead up to Mike Tyson versus one of the Paul brothers. I don't know the difference.
It's Jake. I learned it was Jake.
Okay, there's a difference. It could be like Multiplicity. It could just be one cloned knob, and I would have no difference.
I'm just happy, like, I remembered.
Who fought Magic Johnson in the one video? I don't know. Who fought, who did
the one video?
I was trying to come up with a way of talking about the shadow boxing marital aids as I was trying to, the best possible way there. But these clowns, I just have zero respect or zero interest in them, but I'm sure, I wish them well. I really do.
Oh, now that they're funny, though, see? In order to pierce through to you, you just have to make a funny moment.
Well, no, that's Mike Tyson.
That's what it is.
The Paul brothers.
There's nothing about them. Which would you rather fight, Mike Tyson or Jake Paul?
Do I look like I'm in the condition to fight anyone?
You're a big man.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not fighting. Mike Tyson would kill me, and the Paul brother would kill my ego. Neither. Yeah. Is there like a third Paul brother? Jimmy?
We have like a Manning situation. Is there a Cooper Manning of the Paul family?
And he's like diabetic and. Maybe isn't all there. It's like, I'll fight that guy. I'll fight that Paul brother, but not the two dudes who are yoked. I'll just talk crap about them into a microphone.
There we go.
But
like a real man.
So you and I were having the back and forth. So for me, we're talking about the credit specifically for this year. And the biggest change that I think is making a huge amount of difference is the head coach. I don't think Coby Altman made that decision either to fire JB or hire Kenny Atkinson. So that, to me, takes center stage on credit for Coby. Coby gets a lot of big picture credit for building this thing and for the Donovan trade 2 years ago. But I think really since the Donovan trade, it's been hurry up and wait. And so this year, that is about that this philosophy paying off. So if we're in May, and they're on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals, Coby, I will give you your kudos, especially as it pertains to keeping in Donovan and Darius.
I think that's the big thing. Yeah,
but I just don't. In terms of 13-0, I just don't know how much he had to do with this start.
No, I mean, and again, I think you're moving it a little bit because now we're saying how much of it of 13-0 is just specifically for Coby. When I think last segment we were trying to talk about in the totality of it all, mm-hmm. and then really in particular this offseason. And I think this offseason, I think the GMs, and this goes for Andrew Berry the same way as well, a lot of your work is done in the offseason. When the season gets underway, you kind of do go back to the shadows a little bit. And I think the biggest thing for this year, if we're going to focus in on this year, was what happened with Coby this last offseason, where he did sit there and say, I'm not making any moves. I'm not making any adjustments. I believe in this core four. When, Nick, I don't know a person that does radio or TV or print media in this town that was saying, yeah, the core four is exactly what we need to run back. Coby, say it's visionary or say it's just he was stubborn about it, whatever way you want to do it, through 13 games, it does seem like he made the right call.
Hey, so we're back to 13 games?
I'm trying to meet you. I'm trying to meet you in your discussion here is what I'm trying to do.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Robert in Palma. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm giving Altman all the credit. Absolutely. He could have listened to everyone. You can't play with two small guards. Can't play with those two bigs on the floor at the same time. But he didn't, and he didn't blow it up. And we've seen what happens when you do blow it up and how poorly things can turn. You end up with Deshaun Watson at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a stretch.
That was just an easy way to take a shot at Deshaun there, wasn't it?
I do like the shot. It's a funny shot.
No, it's like an opportunity.
Admit it. Did the
I
take?
Credit,
did you? Did you take the? Okay, so I was just making sure you weren't just setting the whole thing up just to take a shot, Robert. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. I don't know. Does he deserve more credit from?
Man, I just feel like no one's discussing Coby Altman's role in it.
Yeah, because I don't know. I think I'm where I am on this. Like, I don't think this is the time to give him credit. I think this is listen. You know me. I'm the kudo guy. All right, I'm not choosing between giving the players kudos and giving the coach kudos, right? I'm giving them the credit. But for a GM, like, if he had hired, maybe this is the way to, if he had hired Kenny, if you could tell me definitively it was his decision and not Dan Gilbert's, I actually probably more where you are. Because I think Kenny's
offense, I just don't believe that. I believe that was Dan's decision.
But I think, because then I would be, well, he hired the right guy, and look at what the offense is doing and look at how that's reinvigorated these guys, then I think I'd probably be right where you are. Then I think we'd be in lockstep. Lockstep is more how it's put. Demos and Shaker, what's up, bud?
Hey, how you guys doing? I think a little bit of chicken and the egg here in terms of getting, changing personnel here, okay?
Okay.
Because think about it this way, right? To get Kenny here, he had to know what he was coming into in terms of the players. And I didn't think we should have gotten rid of Jared Allen. They were talking all that trade stuff. Or I didn't think we should get rid of Garland. So why can't you give credit to Coby for keeping that lineup intact and knowing that he had the good players? This is kind of like when Doug Collins got replaced by Phil Jackson. You know, it was like you knew you needed a new coach to go to the next level. And you know, if you don't think that Coby had something to do with that discussion, I don't know what to say.
For some reason, I combined Doug Collins and Phil Jackson into Phil Collins there. My mind immediately went to In the Air Tonight. I guess my thing is, I think as long as Evan and Donovan were here, this was going to be a wildly attractive job. Like, if they had traded Darius or Jared, I'm sure he would prefer those guys being here. But I don't think Kenny Atkinson doesn't take the job if you have a trade for either guy.
You don't think that was part of the discussion?
Well, no, it's part of the discussion, but I guarantee you the non-negotiables for Kenny were probably Donovan and Evan, because yeah, those are the guys
Kenny
who I think
Kenny didn't have much leverage either in this scenario.
I mean, he took the Charlotte job and backed out.
I was going to say, but he's the one that had to accept it. Right. He's turned down other jobs. There's a reason why he took this one. And I think that keeping that lineup intact was part of it.
Demos, we appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks,
thank
Demos.
You.
All right. I don't know.
All right.
For the second straight day, I just have in the air tonight, second my head.
I mean, because part of his whole philosophy is not with the construct of what this core four would be, because he's not someone that likes to play two big guys at the same time. He didn't do it in Brooklyn at all. Like I think the talent was here by a wide margin, but I don't think there was enough to turn Atkinson off one way or another.
So basically, I'm Shaq.
I agree with you, is what I'm saying.
Okay, but basically, I'm Shaq with Kenny Atkinson, but with Kobe Altman.
Yeah.
Like,
you are Shaq.
I just put it on the coach and the players.
You just want to be like Shaq. A lot of kids grew up wanted to be like Mike. You wanted to be like Shaq.
I want to be, and then I turned out to be obese. And so here
we
are. I am
fat. Like, I had to breathe.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, should we be giving credit to Kobe Altman, or maybe should we be giving more credit to Kobe Altman for where the Cavs are 13 games into the season and for how that transpired coming out of the offseason? We got the 5 and 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.